Manuscript Releases, Volume 10, Numbers, 771 to 850, M.R. Number 842, Counsels Concerning Prescott and Daniels, Exhortation to Come Up to the High Platform of the Bible, to Elder and Mrs. Prescott. Now, my respected brother and sister, you and I are a part of the great web of humanity, and we have parts to act in reference to the souls with whom we associate. My dear brother and sister, whom I highly esteem in the Lord, let us come upon the high platform of the Bible. Let us seek by precept and example to induce others to stand firmly on Bible principles, and what blessed union would be the result? Need for deeper consecration by teachers. The school in Battle Creek has overgrown the qualifications of its educators. Professor Prescott is absent much of the time. If he were present, his experience would help the under-teachers. But even if he were there all the time, there is gathering in all the time more responsibility than can be successfully carried. When there is deeper consecration with the instructors of youth, God will work with their efforts. 45, 1893, 3. Educational advantages not to be centered in Battle Creek, N.D. The need for God-fearing educators, to Prescott. From time to time, I have been compelled to urge our case upon the attention of our brethren at home. We were sent to these colonies, Australia and New Zealand, by the conference, and again, I have presented our situation before you at Battle Creek. But in face of all this, the policy has been pursued of enlarging the institutions in Battle Creek, adding building to building in order to accommodate a larger influx. All this is eating up the funds. I know that perilous times are upon us, and pressure for means that we do not now discern. The course that has been pursued is directly contrary to the light which God has given me. It has been stated in distinct, positive language that God is not pleased with the centering of so many important interests in Battle Creek. The time is close upon us when the reason for this will be understood. It will be no longer a matter of faith, but of experience. Instead of centering everything in Battle Creek, it would be more in harmony with God's order to let the work be scattered over a greater amount of territory. Battle Creek is not to be a Jerusalem whither all the world are to go up to worship. Too much of our strength is centered there already. In other localities, there is need of facilities and means to build up the work. There may be apparent advantages to be derived by the enlargement of the school buildings, but the movement is not in the counsel of God. There is need of far more consecrated, God-fearing educators. Oh, how my heart has been pained to see that the precious light given in Battle Creek at the last General Conference, 1893, was not so cherished that every lamp was kept trimmed and burning, because supplied with the oil of grace. All the revelations of God at the conference I acknowledge as from Him. I dare not say that work was excitement and unwarranted enthusiasm. No, no. God drew near to you, and His Holy Spirit revealed to you that He had a heaven full of blessings, even light to lighten the world. But the enemy was allowed to come in and lead minds, and he did just what he will continue to do, if permitted, till the close of time. He allured souls from their allegiance and led them to turn from the precious light and the deep movings of the Spirit of God. Prescott had correct ideas of education, to Prescott. In regard to education, I cannot discern that your ideas are incorrect. When we consider that history is being made so fast, we can but be convinced that perils are fast crowding upon us, and we cannot deliver even ourselves from that which we must meet. All we can do is to seek heavenly wisdom from our only source of help. If by constant contemplation of the author and finisher of our faith, we grow into the similitude of Christ in character, we shall have our life hid with Christ in God. We are not to fold our hands in idle expectancy of the Lord's soon coming, but we are to keep looking unto Jesus, hanging our helpless souls upon His merits, opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit's moving, our petitions ascending to God for His fashioning hand to be upon us. Unholy ambitions will seek to secure a place in all our devising, But oh, as never before, there is now the greatest necessity that in humility we sit at the feet of Jesus and learn lessons from the greatest teacher the world ever knew. Educational standards not to be lowered, to Elder and Mrs. Prescott. I read your letter to Elder Starr and was somewhat troubled by its contents. No movement should be made to lower the standard of education in our school at Battle Creek. The students should tax the mental powers. Every faculty should reach the highest possible development. Many students come to the college with intellectual habits partially formed that are a hindrance to them. The most difficult to manage is the habit of performing their work as a matter of routine, instead of bringing to their studies thoughtful, determined effort to master difficulties and to grasp the principles at the foundation of every subject under consideration. Through the grace of Christ, it is in their power to change this habit of routine, and it is for their best interest and future usefulness rightly to direct the mental faculties, training them to do service for the wisest teacher, whose power they may claim by faith. This will give them success in their intellectual efforts, in accordance with the laws of God. Each student should feel that under God, he is to have a special training, individual culture, and he should realize that the Lord requires of him to make all of himself that he possibly can, that he may teach others also. Indolence, apathy, irregularity are to be dreaded, and the binding of oneself to routine is just as much to be dreaded. I hope that no one will receive the impression from any words I have written that the standard of the school is to be in any way lowered. There should be most diligent and thorough education in our school, and in order to secure this, the wisdom that comes from God must be made first and most important. The religion of Christ never sanctions physical or mental laziness. When we aim at a low standard, we shall reach only a low standard. We commend to every student the Book of Books as the grandest study for the human intelligence, as the education essential for this life and for eternal life. But I did not contemplate a letting down of the educational standard in the study of the sciences. The light that has been given on these subjects is clear, and should in no case be disregarded. But, if the Word of God which giveth light, giving understanding to the simple, had been welcomed into the mind and the soul temple as a counselor, as a guide and instructor, the human agent living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, there would have been no need of reproof because of the backsliding of the students after the blessing of God had come to them in rich rays of divine light to glow in heaven's holy fire upon the altar of their hearts. God forbid that through lack of discernment, errors should be committed through misunderstanding of my words addressed to you. I have had no other feeling than that of pleasure in knowing that students could come forth from the study of the words of life with minds expanded, elevated, ennobled, with their slumbering powers aroused to engage in the study of the sciences with a keener appreciation. They may become learned as did Daniel, with a purpose to develop and employ every power to glorify God. But it becomes every student to learn of God, who giveth wisdom, how to learn to the best advantage, for all are candidates for immortality. Jesus, our example, led an active life, blessing others. To Edson White. There are times when Christ would say to those in his service whose energies had been overtaxed, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." Mark 6, verse 31. We have the record on one occasion, after a day of ceaseless toil, that our Redeemer lay, a coil of rope for his pillow, fast asleep in a fisherman's boat. His exhausted human nature cried for rest and sleep. What a lesson for human beings who do nothing to bless others. Behold the Savior. How pressing were the necessities which sought him for relief. Teaching in the temple, healing in the temple, explaining the scriptures in the streets, by the wayside, in his retired walks, the subjects so urgent left him no time for repose. His sympathies were drawn out for the oppressed. He comforted the mourner. He brought hope to the hopeless. He healed the scars and bruises that sin had made. He went about doing good. Book Committee in Need of Converting. Power of God. The book committee has been following in the tread of the paths of Rome. When Professor Prescott's matter was condemned and refused publication, I said to myself, "This committee needs the converting power of God upon their own hearts, that they may comprehend their duty. They do not know themselves. Their ideas are not to control the ideas of another. From the light which the Lord has given for the managers of the book committee, they do not know what they should condemn or what approve. They know not the workings of God. It is not such men as these who are to work the minds of God's heritage. The Holy Spirit must do this work. It is because of their separation from God that men have misunderstood and failed to comprehend the fact that they are not to rule their fellow men. It is not for these men to condemn or control the productions of those whom God is using as his light-bearers to the world. By their course of action, they have so narrowed their range of vision that they are far from being proper judges. They must fall on the rock Christ Jesus and be broken. Evangelistic camp meetings to be held, to Elder and Mrs. Prescott. Plants must be made in the cities. Now is the time to give the third angel's message, but this cannot be done in church buildings. Camp meetings must be held, not one mammoth camp meeting, but several camp meetings in different places. The holding of camp meetings is one of the most successful ways of working for the Lord. These meetings should continue 2 or 3 weeks, and during this time earnest work should be done for believers and unbelievers. The work done at these meetings should never be of a cheap, low grade. Men of the best spiritual gifts should attend, men who can give the messages for this time and properly bring out the features of our faith which make us what we are, Seventh-day Adventists. Camp meetings are not to be made business meetings, so that the public will lose the precious opportunity of hearing the words of truth. Let short, pointed discourses be given, and after a discourse has been given, ask those who wish to follow Christ to signify it. Then take them into a tent by themselves and pray with and for them. Hold fast to those who are interested until they are confirmed in the faith. There are too few revival efforts made. Prescott's ideas of education to be changed, to Megan and Sutherland. You should endeavor to train the very best class of workers, who as teachers and as ministers of the gospel will be able to educate others. I think that if it is possible, you should have Elder Prescott connected with your faculty during the first term. This first term must be a success. The college had been moved from Battle Creek to Berrien Springs, Michigan, 5 months earlier, in July 1901. The Lord desires our brother Prescott to learn many things in educational lines. His ideas of education are to be different from what they once were. And I thank the Lord that he has been giving him the light that is so much needed by the students who shall go forth as teachers. Prescott to assist Uriah Smith in editing the review. To Elder and Mrs. Prescott. I wish that I could see you. I should like to talk with you. I shall feel thankful indeed if you can connect with Elder Smith in the editorial work on the Review and Herald. You have had experience as an editor, and you can be a great help to Elder Smith. He should not be left out of the editorial work. In no case drop his name off the editorial list. You should cooperate with him in the work, that you and his son Leon may together be the strength that he needs. You can be a real comfort and blessing to Elder Smith, and he can be a decided help to you. The Lord will aid you, my brother, in this good work. Prescott to broaden his activities. To Elder and Mrs. Prescott. I wish to write to you in regard to your work. Let the Berrien Springs School be carried on by those who are now acquainted with it, for the Lord has been giving these men a fresh, new, and valuable experience. He has been leading them. They are working on right lines. We have need of the men who are learning how to carry these responsibilities. Brother Prescott, your place is not to be confined in any school as a manager or a teacher. Your testimony is greatly needed in our large gatherings and important meetings. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, to make the word clear and distinct and powerful. Your work, my brother, is to encourage many others to enter into this kind of work. The work of uplifting those who are cast down, and of teaching with confidence the first principles of the message. In your ministry, come close to the people. In your discourses, treat of calamities as disguised blessings, of woes as mercies. Preach in a way that will cause hope to spring up in the hearts in the place of despair. Oh, for that appreciation of every means of grace to reach the souls of the despairing. Brother and Sister Prescott, there is a work for both of you to do in reaching souls. Learn what it is. Brother Prescott, the Lord has a message for you to give to His people in regard to the preparation that must be made for the coming of the Lord. In the fourth chapter of Hosea, the state of the inhabitants of the land is set forth. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly. Zephaniah 1, verse 14. God has given you a message to bear in our camp meetings and in other assemblies. Your work is not in the schoolroom, but before the gatherings of God's people. There are plenty who cannot teach the truth in public. You have a message that will be adaptable for the highest and the most lowly. I have felt glad that you were in the office at Battle Creek. But you also have a message to bear to the people in the field, and your wife has a work to do in connection with you. She is to be an interested worker, susceptible to the influences of the Holy Spirit. God will help both of you to act a part in His great work if you will discern His teachings. Go forth in humble faith, and the Lord will go with you. But watch unto prayer. The power is of God. Work in all dependence upon Him, bearing in mind that you are laborers together with Him. He is your helper. Your strength is from Him. He will be your wisdom, your sanctification, your righteousness, your redemption. You can wear the yoke of Christ, daily learning of Him His meekness and lowliness of heart. He will be your comfort, your rest. God can work through inexperienced but consecrated teachers. To Prescott, we do not in any way underrate the older teachers. No, we would encourage older and younger teachers to labor for God. But I am seeking to show you that schools may be managed, and managed successfully, by men who are not the most advanced in years and experience. God can work through young, humble men. Let none forbid them. Let the young, devoted followers of Christ say, "The love of Christ constraineth me." Moving upon minds with the force of the grace of Christ, this love casts aside all hindrances and barriers, exerting upon souls a compelling influence that leads them to give themselves to God in unreserved consecration. My brother, let nothing you do or say weaken the hands of men who are doing their best and who have succeeded in gaining success. Our best preachers to attend our camp meetings. A short time ago, I understood that the brethren were considering the advisability of inviting Brother Prescott to connect with the Berrien Springs School. But I have been shown that he is to give his entire time neither to editorial work nor to teaching. For over and over again, the Lord has revealed to us that our people can be reached best at the camp meetings. We must have the best talent at these meetings. Such men as Elders Corliss and Prescott can bear a much-needed testimony in our large meetings. These men should be freed from local responsibilities in order that they may be able to attend these large gatherings. Camp meetings result in the accomplishment of but little good when the helpers are inefficient. In these meetings, we must make the most of every service, presenting the various phases of the message forcibly in order to make a good impression. We must reach the people soon. The little time yet remaining in which to work is rapidly growing shorter and still shorter. We should secure the best laborers for our camp meetings. These laborers should do personal work with the people. Let them meet the brethren and sisters in little companies for seasons of prayer. Great wisdom to be used in dealing with Kellogg. To Daniels and his fellow workers. I am much perplexed. I expected to say some things in the meeting on Sunday morning at the General Conference of 1903 in Oakland, California. Three times Sister White thought she must say something about Dr. Kellogg and his book, The Living Temple. But all three times the Lord directed her mind to other topics. But I was instructed that I should not say anything that would arouse resentment. I entreat Brother Daniels and Brother Prescott to say nothing that will drive Dr. Kellogg to desperation. He may be saved to do the work of repentance if he is not driven into a corner. But if he is driven to desperation, we shall all have a very hard time. My brethren, I beseech you to walk humbly with God. Do not use the words that I have spoken under great perplexity and distress to hasten a crisis. Be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Understand that the Spirit of the Lord can work on minds, that God's hand is on the wheel, and that much must be left with Him to work out as He will. One man is not to step out of his place to do something that the Lord has plainly stated He has given to another man to do. To every man is given his work. And if all will attend to their individual duties, looking to Jesus and seeking counsel of Him, they will be guided aright. And they will have that confidence in their brethren which they desire their brethren to have in them. But he who would uproot a man in order to carry out his own ideas is doing a work that God has not given him. A brief visit with Prescott to Edson and Emma White. A week ago last Friday, Professor Prescott called to see us on his way from the Northwestern camp meetings. We were glad to meet him, but we had little time to talk with him, as he was anxious to do some writing while here. He spoke on Sabbath morning at the St. Helena Sanitarium, and the people were much interested in what he said. Cautions regarding extreme views of sanctification. To Daniels. There is another matter upon my mind about which I must speak to you. I have often been warned against overstrained ideas of sanctification. They lead to an objectionable feature of experience that will swamp us unless we are wide awake. Extreme views of sanctification, which lead men to suppose they are appointed to criticize and condemn their brethren, are to be feared and shunned. During the General Conference of 1901, the Lord warned me against sentiments that were being gathered and then held by Brethren Prescott and E.J. Wagoner. Instruction was given me that these sentiments received have been as leaven put into meal. Many minds have received them. The ideas of some regarding a great experience called, and supposed to be sanctification, have been the alpha of a train of deception which will deceive and ruin the souls of those who receive them. Because of some overdrawn expressions frequently used by Brother Wagoner at the conference, I was led to speak words intended to counteract their influence. If ever there was a time when our brethren should blend in unity, it is now. You are engaged in an important work in Washington. I am very anxious that the work in that place shall be carried forward exactly as the Lord would have it. But Satan is surely presenting some false theories which you must not receive. Elders Wagoner and Prescott are out of the way. Divine promise to Elders Daniels and Prescott. Elder Daniels and Elder Prescott have made some mistakes in their religious experience, as other men have, but they never defied the Spirit of God and refused to be corrected. At one time it was supposed that the publishing interests should be centralized under the organization in Battle Creek. I was in great distress in regard to this sentiment. I was weighed down as a cart beneath sheaves. But this difficulty was adjusted by the Lord's permitting the principal buildings of the Review and Herald Publishing House to be destroyed by fire. The Lord has specified Oakland, California, and Nashville, Tennessee, as places in which our publishing work should be carried on. And He has also said that there should be at Berrien Springs facilities for the printing and publishing of some lines of books, which will help in the building up of the work there. Brethren Daniels and Prescott placed themselves in line to do the very work the Lord assigned them in moving the publishing work from Battle Creek to Washington. The Lord has greatly blessed them in every step they have taken in accordance with the light He has given them. His signature has been upon their work, and He will be with them still if they will continue to look steadfastly to Him as their teacher and their example. If they turn aside, as did Solomon, to work contrary to God's designs, then the Lord cannot cooperate with them. Elder Daniels and Elder Prescott are men to whom the Lord has given a message, and He will be with them if they will walk with Him. Men able to deal with the Sunday movement, to Prescott and Colcord. I am glad that the Lord has at Washington able men who can treat this Sunday movement as it should be treated. Let every minister, every evangelist, Now put on the whole armor of God, and work and watch and pray. Our church members also should humble their hearts before God, and cry aloud and spare not. Oh, that the Lord would imbue the members of His church with a sense of the importance of the responsibility of being laborers together with Him. Cautions to Elder Prescott. To Prescott. I have been shown your peril during the time of your connecting with Dr. Wagoner. You both came to the conference of 1901, enthused with what you supposed to be precious spiritual light. You were desirous of presenting this light to me, but I was shown that much of that which you supposed to be precious light was dangerous, misleading fables, and that I must have no conversation with you regarding these ideas that were filling your minds. The theories held by Elliot Wagoner were similar in character to those we had met and rebuked in several places where we met fanatical movements after the passing of the time in 1844. Dr. Wagoner was then departing from the faith and the doctrine he held regarding spiritual affinities. You have many times escaped from the snare of the enemy, but you are not beyond the danger of making mistakes. You sometimes allow your mind to center upon a certain train of thought, and you are in danger of making a mountain out of a molehill. Brother Prescott, there has been a serious weakness in your work of ministry. It is a tendency to sway from clearly defined truth and give undue attention to some items which seem to require hours of argument to prove, when in reality they do not need to be handled at all. It will be wise for you to say, when tempted to do this work, "We cannot afford to arouse arguments upon points that are not essential for the salvation of the soul." Elder E. J. Hibbard has suggested to me that if Elder Jones were wisely labored for, he might come back into our ranks. The night after his letter came, a presentation was given to me showing me that we must be careful not to open the way for anyone to spoil the flock of God. Elder Jones has done a work that has destroyed the confidence of many of his brethren in him. He has been persistent in following out his erratic course. He has gone from place to place with falsehoods and misrepresentations, which have had to be followed up and refuted by Elder Daniels and others of our ministers. I was shown that it was by such work as this that Satan seeks to deceive, if possible, the very elect. When Elder Jones will humble himself before God and do a thorough work of repentance, there will be something for us as a people to do. But until that time shall come, it is our duty to let him alone. Prescott, urged to do evangelistic work. The Lord has given him, Prescott, light, and there are many who will be enlightened and blessed by the message of truth that he can give. The work that the Lord would have him do in giving a knowledge of the third angel's message to those who are in error will be as a light shining from the Scriptures to enlighten others. The Lord is not pleased with the spiritual advancement that Elder Prescott has made. He is not where the Lord would have him be. He would be the recipient of much greater spiritual strength if he were much of the time out in the field seeking to lead souls to the light of truth. Brother Prescott, your ministerial ability is needed in the work that God requires shall be done in our cities. These cities are not to be left unenlightened and unwarned. Open your eyes to see the work that is to be done in sowing the seeds of truth in new places. You should unite with other workers in seeking to bring souls to the truth. I am instructed to say to you that you are needed in the fields that are opening for evangelistic work. When you make the Lord your trust and give to the people the message of truth, wonderful reformations will be seen. There will be an awakening and conversion of many souls who are now ignorant of what is the truth for these last days. The Lord would have the workers in Washington prepare His way before Him. All their capabilities are to be used in giving this last message of warning to the world. The Lord expects every worker to be a laborer together with Him. Let there be no arbitrary forbiddings placed upon the men chosen to engage in God's service. 41, 1909, 1, 2, 3. A Message to Responsible Men and Church Members, June 3, 1909. Prescott, not to stay in Washington, but to engage in public work. During this conference, I had a message for Brother Prescott. He is a minister. He should not remain here in Washington to do a work that another man can do. He can stand before the people and give the reasons of our faith in an acceptable way. I know this because I have been associated with him in labor. He has a precious gift, and here he is employed in work that other men can do, while there is a dearth of laborers who can warn these large cities. His gift is not to be used longer as it is now, for if he continues to labor here, his health and strength will be used up. But if he will go out into the public ministry, strength will come to him. 53, 1909, 5. Proclaiming the Third Angel's Message in Cities at Home and Abroad, a talk before the General Conference Committee, June 11, 1909. Prescott in danger of making shipwreck of faith. To Prescott. There are constant dangers besetting the pathway of God's servants, and these dangers we may learn to avoid. At times, Elder Prescott, you have come very near making shipwreck of your faith. Only the grace of God and the confidence you have had in the messages he has sent through the spirit of prophecy have held you back. I was shown that, although you have had many years of experience in the cause of God, you are still in danger of making grave mistakes. You will be inclined to catch hold of some minor matter which you consider to be important and place great weight upon it. At such times, Satan is waiting and watching for an opportunity to influence your mind and through you to work upon many other minds, leading them to questioning and doubt. The Lord has not called you to such a work as this. Upon some questions, silence will reveal a spirit of wisdom and discretion. Prescott's talent as a speaker needed in public work. To the officers of the General Conference. The Lord has spoken to Elder Prescott and wife, instructing them to go out into new fields and labor in connection with other workers to present the truth. Let these workers be learners of the great teacher, following his methods of labor as they present the Word of God in its simplicity to the people. Elder Prescott's ability as a speaker is needed in presenting the truth in the highways. Prescott seen obeying divine counsel to engage in public evangelism. To Prescott and Daniels. I thank God that public meetings have been held in the Battle Creek Tabernacle, and that the trumpet has been given a certain sound. This is the very line of work that in the visions of the night I saw Elder Prescott engaged in, and in the manner described by Elder Daniels in his recent letter. I saw that as our brother would use his voice in proclaiming the message of present truth, he would be exercising his talents to the glory of God, and a deep impression would be made upon the minds of the people. The mind and the voice of the speaker, combined, will make right impressions on large assemblies. This is in harmony with the Lord's plan. The presentation of important subjects before large gatherings will result in the development of the talent of personal influence. Daniels and Prescott in danger of voicing misleading sentiments. To Daniels and Prescott. I am charged with a message to you both that you need to humble your hearts before God. Neither Elder Prescott nor Elder Daniels is prepared to direct the work of the General Conference, for in some things they have dishonored the Lord God of Israel. Based on this statement, a question may be raised as to why Elder Daniels was continued in office for a number of years after this startling message was given. It should be observed that the entire testimony of which this is a part, and other like messages of counsel and reproof, led the President of the General Conference, who was ever alert to the guidance of the Spirit of Prophecy, to reassess his relationship with God and his responsibilities as leader of the Church, and to take a course which Ellen White indicated carried God's approval. The new emphasis and attitude became apparent in a strong thrust in city evangelism. 2 years later, as Ellen White chose a board of 5 men to carry the responsibilities of the care and preservation of her writings after her death, it is significant that she named Elder Daniels as one to serve in this important capacity. White Trustees. High, pure devotion to God is required of men placed in your position. Such a man was Daniel, who in his statesmanship maintained a clean and holy purpose. Such characters are needed now. I am to tell you that neither of you is prepared to discern with clear spiritual eyesight that which is needed now. You are in danger of voicing sentiments that will be misleading. We are living in the last days of this earth's history, and we need to have a burning desire to copy the life of Christ. The great work remaining now to be done awaits the efforts of consecrated, loyal, sanctified, refined men. Let your light so shine before all men with whom you associate that they may take knowledge of you that you have learned of Jesus. Christ says to you, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Luke 14, verse 23. Those who engage wholeheartedly in this service will be able to bear a testimony that will help to win other souls to Christ. Unless you learn of Him daily, you will be in danger of losing your bearings. I must say to you, humble your own souls before God. Shun every influence that would tend to cheapen the message that should be given to high and low in the cities. Keep open the channel of communication between your soul and God, that those with whom you associate may recognize the voice of Him who gave His life for you. I dare not flatter you. Let the divine precepts be brought into your life daily, and when you stand up to address a congregation, the communication between your soul and God will be recognized, for your heart and mind will be open to the impressions of God's Spirit. Pray to God most earnestly that you may not miss the mark. Study how you can best honor your Redeemer. I am to say to you that it is your privilege to walk humbly with Christ Jesus. Unless you do this, you will be in grave danger of receiving spurious ideas from other minds. The truth of God, like gold, does not lie on the surface, but it is obtained only by earnest effort. As you study the life of Christ, you may, if receptive, receive a knowledge that will expand the mental powers and will be a savor of eternal truths that you may bring before the people. Caution regarding the general revision of Seventh-day Adventist books to Daniels. I have seen that Satan would have been greatly pleased to see Elders Prescott and Daniels undertake the work of a general overhauling of our books that have done a good work in the field for years. But neither of you is called of God to that work. If you were to enter upon such a work, much time would be employed that should be given to the proclamation of the last warning message to an impenitent world. The Lord would have been pleased had you and Elder Prescott and your associates taken upon yourselves soon after the last general conference the burden of giving to the inhabitants of the great cities the last warning message. This is a work that He has been calling us to do these many years. In some respects, you and Brother Prescott have done a strange work. It is not for the best interests of either one of you that you be associated together so closely as heretofore. If we should now sow broadcast seeds of doubt as to the correctness of our printed books and tracts, and encourage the thought that there must needs be a general revision of our published books, a work will have begun that the Lord has not appointed us to do. Even a suggestion as to inaccuracies would, if made public, lead some to vindicate their course of action in spending much time in an effort to search for flaws and to find fault. It is not safe to set some minds running in such channels of thought, as this would lead to a harvest of doubt and unbelief. I know whereof I speak, for the Lord has opened this matter before me. I am bidden to counsel you to leave the work of book revision and devote the entire energies of your minds to the presentation of Bible truth to souls who have never heard the third angel's message. If you and Brother Prescott were to sow broadcast seeds of uncertainty and distrust in the minds of others, God would call you to a stern account for this evil. In the night season, I have seen men looking over our printed books in search of something to criticize, and the adversary was standing by their side, making suggestions to their minds. The natural result of unwise criticism would be to bring infidelity into our ranks. White Estate, Washington, D.C., March 25, 1981.